We kick off hour number three of the program. Some drama in Major League Baseball, especially close to home with Houston's Atlanta Braves.
Kind of.
I mean, I didn't watch it, but I saw the commentary about how weird it was when Freddie Freeman came back, plays for the Dodgers now. Was it like emotional and stuff? Like,
oh gosh, yeah, it's like hard to watch really? When he did the post game.
It was over the top emotion, so much to it was at the point to where I was kind of like, okay, Freddie, I get being sad you're back. I get it's a lot of emotions hitting you at once, but it was kind of to the point to where it was almost embarrassing.
Emotions are embarrassing?
No, but I mean, when you're pretty much just full-on sobbing in a post-game press conference and a pre-game press conference, and when you sit there or stand there in the like batter's box area for 3 minutes before you take your first pitch, kind of over the top, in my opinion.
I mean, you understand now why, though.
Oh, yes, yes. It's totally justified now after the story that came out last night.
Go ahead.
So the story was, and I don't, did Gottlieb break this or did somebody else and then he was commenting on it? But the story goes that Freddie Freeman's agent did not share with him the Braves' final offer before he decided to sign with the Dodgers?
It sounds like they didn't.
And I'm just kind of going on my own thought process here, but I guess if you're an agent and you know that the player might give the current team a hometown discount,
mm-hmm.
I would assume that's the motivation with just not even showing, kind of slow playing the home team and then kind of like pushing him towards the bigger deal because then obviously your cut's bigger.
Yep.
Is that the accusation here?
Considering he fired his agent yesterday, I would say yes. Or the day before. Yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, one of the two, yeah.
Yikes.
He also found out all this in Atlanta. When he came back.
Yeah, he came back, and that's right. When because his buddy, Chipper Jones, his mentor, works in the front office for the Braves. And it sounds like they were like, dude, yeah, like we were going to give you 145. And he said, what? I was like, yeah, that was the final offer. We gave them a deadline.
We said one. Well, didn't he never get the offer for even like 135?
I'm not sure.
Chipper said they would have gone up to 145.
And probably matched the year.
But I thought there was an actual offer though. That's the important part, right? Mm-hmm. He said, "Yeah, we sent that last offer at this." And if Freddie goes, "I never got that offer."
Never got it.
Holy moly!
Yeah, so the agents kept it from him so that he would take the bigger deal, so that they would get a bigger cut. And the Braves gave him the deadline because they were like, "We're not going to have you leave and us not have a player."
Right,
so they went and signed a younger,
Matt Olson.
Yeah, Olson. Yeah.
Who's I mean, realistically,
good player.
Probably better than Freddie.
I don't know. Not better now. But he's younger. He's got a lot of potential.
I'll take Olson.
You're a Sox fan. What are you doing?
Freddie Bell headed. I think he was between the Red Sox and Dodgers. You wouldn't want him in a Red Sox uniform.
I mean, I would have taken him.
Of course you would have. Big Red Sox guy.
But now Gottlieb's in trouble with the agent's attorney.
Yeah.
What? How? Like what?
Well, they said it's misinformation. They're gonna sue.
He's a sports radio dude. Like what? Misinformation. Like what is that?
This agent is also the guy who is employed by Dansby as well.
Dansby.
Swanson.
Oh, okay.
He's got Kershaw as well.
Oh wow.
Career suicide, honestly, for this guy.
The agent?
If true.
If true.
Even if it's not true, just having that story out there is still going to damage your reputation a little bit.
Well, that's probably why they went so fast, so hard at
the lawsuit.
The report, yeah. Because either way, like they got to try and shut it down.
If they have all these other clients, I don't understand why they would do that to Freddie. Like, if you know the guy wants to stay in Atlanta, try to get him the best deal possible. I mean, I understand it's all about leverage, but you can't withhold that information from your client.
Well, that's got to make you think that the Dodgers were almost tampering with it a little bit, don't you think?
Oh, you think the Dodgers might hook this agent up?
Maybe.
A little extra coin on the side?
Wouldn't put it past them.
Mm. His net worth is $70
million. No, they wouldn't do that. I mean, they hoodwinked Freddie for sure. That seems, I mean, all the emotion Hickman was making fun of earlier, like, that's why. Like, he wants to be in Atlanta. Grew up a Brave fan. Won a World Series as a Brave. I mean, he's...
What, 13 years with the Braves?
Yeah. And then he, you know, is made to think that the Braves didn't give him a good offer, so he goes to L.A., and then he comes back, and they're like, no, we actually, you know, this was the last offer we sent. That's just, I mean, that's shady. No wonder he fired him.
Yeah, Doug Gottlieb said he found out over the weekend just how close Atlanta had come in their final offer, called up Casey Close and said, you didn't tell me about this offer, you're fired. Gottlieb said that on his show on Fox Sports Radio. Gottlieb said, according to, quote, really good sources in the business, Close thought there were better opportunities with the Dodgers, and that's why he never told him, Gottlieb said. And then Excel Sports, which is the agency, said, Doug Gottlieb tweeted a wholly inaccurate characterization of our negotiations with the Atlanta Braves on behalf of Freddie Freeman. We are immediately evaluating all legal options to address the reckless publication of inaccurate information, as you guys already said. Casey Close told Sports Illustrated there is, quote, no truth whatsoever to what Doug Gottlieb recklessly tweeted, and I would testify to that under oath. It would be bad for Doug Gottlieb if Freddie Freeman comes out and says something different.
He just fired him, though. Like,
well,
like,
he just says, hey, I fired him for a different reason. Here's why.
Feels like Gottlieb's closer than they would like to admit.
Maybe. Freeman makes $162 million in 6 years with the Dodgers.
I mean, it's not – it's weird to have, like, the pity party for Freddie Freeman, but
– yeah.
Like, I get it, but you're also with the Dodgers. Great organization. Are they in first place right now?
Second, right? Thought the Mets were one game, a couple first games there. Above them.
I mean, anyway, like, they're not a bottom dweller. It's not like he's, you know, getting paid good to play for a bunch of scumbags.
Right.
You get to live in L.A. Not too bad. $162 million. Also not bad. Like, things could be worse, but yeah. I mean, it stinks. It stinks for him that he wanted to be in Atlanta and this happened. There's nothing he can do about it now. I mean, yeah, fire your agent, that's fine. But it is weird. He's basically like, he's engaged and crying over his ex-girlfriend, kind of. So, like, Dodgers fans are kind of like, buddy, what?
Mm-hmm.
Clayton Kershaw's like, dude, what are you doing? You're a Dodger. There's nothing he can do about that. Like, you're under contract.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, it stinks, but, like, I don't know. Dodgers are in first place.
Okay.
Tied for first.
Good gig if you can get it.
Agree. I don't know.
You miss him?
You know, in all the Braves games I've watched this year, it's strange not seeing him out there, you know, playing his position.
Chandler said if these rumors are true, Freddie could argue that his agent breached his fiduciary duty to Freddie by withholding an offer from him.
If you got him more money than the offer, is that really fiduciary? I mean, wouldn't that be... You know, if the
he
idea
held the more, yeah.
If you got him more money, and that's the
you
idea.
You could argue that maybe there's a different agent duty to, you know, another clause in the kind of the etiquette and morals of being an agent that you should always present your client with.
Right, right. No, I agree with that. Like, you,
this is like an attorney not telling his you know, guy in jail that they offered a plea deal. You know, like,
yeah. Who told you to put the balm on? I didn't tell you to put the balm on. Brian says, also, with California's taxes and cost of living, the Atlanta offer might have actually made him more money. That's a good point.
That's a really good point. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour three continues here. This segment brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Make your appointment. Take care of your teeth right here in Knoxville, Cedar Bluff area. Go see Drs. Malone or Costa. They'll take great care of you. Tell them you heard about them on Fan Run Radio. We go to intern Brett for breaking news on the PGA Tour.
We talk so highly about Jason Day being one of the better players at the John Deere Classic. Come to find out, he was just withdrew with a back injury, replaced in the field by the great player Ted Potter.
Ted Potter. Happy for him to get his opportunity. Great field there at the
John Deere
Classic.
This thing's going
to be wide open. I mean, I don't... How much would it suck to be like, yeah, I live in this town, I go to the golf tournament every... I mean, it's a little different here with the like the minor league tour coming. Like, we don't look forward to big names coming through. It's, we just kind of watch guys and hope that maybe one day they'll be a big name. But, like, we got a tour stop in our town here. I go every year, and this year, I'm seeing no one. Kind of suck. But I don't know. They're probably used to it.
Well, you'd at least still get to see guys who are worlds better than any golfer you've ever seen in person.
No, that's true.
I guess, I mean, you'd really have to appreciate golf to kind of get a lot of enjoyment out of it at that point, though, which I don't. I would like to see the big names.
Did you see that Cornell University has removed a statue of Abraham Lincoln after one student complained?
One. Not hundreds, not thousands, but one.
Yeah. Abraham Lincoln. It was a statue, it was a bust of Abraham Lincoln beside his Gettysburg address in the library.
Had it been there since 2013?
Yeah, in 2013 they had a celebration of it. And now in 2022, one student complained, so it's gone.
Yeah, it was originally put there to be part of a temporary exhibit for the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. Is Cornell in Pennsylvania?
Where is Cornell? I read a book once on... no, it's in Ithaca, New York.
Oh.
I read a book once called The Last Amateurs. It was about the Patriot League basketball conference. And... basically, it was the worst conference in Division I basketball. Patriot League. I think Cornell was definitely in it at the time. Probably still are. They've got, I guess, 10 members of it. Let's see if I can get the teams.
That's
here.
The league that Americans in the Patriot League, right?
Yeah, American, Army, Boston. You know, Boston U. Bucknell, Colgate, Holy Cross, Lafayette, Lehigh, Loyola University, Maryland, and Navy.
Hey, don't hate on the Patriot League. I was staying in a cabin one time, and the only TV channel they had on there for some reason was playing an American University basketball game. They were taking on Holy Cross.
Yeah.
And I think the game went to like five overtimes. Watched it twice.
I don't know why I said all that. It's Colgate I was thinking of. Cornell's an Ivy League school. Duh. But anyway, now you're caught up on your Patriot League for.
Because well, see, even I typed in Cornell into Google. I typed in Cornell Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah?
And the story popped up.
Oh, okay. No, Cornell's the right school. It's just in the Ivy League, not the Patriot League.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we got our conferences mixed up, not our schools.
Well, right. We have the right school. it's in the Ivy League, but for some reason, when I thought about what league Cornell was in, I thought of Colgate, not – it's another school, obviously, you know, a lot of the same letters, and it's in New York as well. So, the Ivy League used to play basketball ever since COVID. I'm not sure if they ever started playing it again, you know. They did that thing where they're going to play basketball with everybody on the court wearing masks, which seemed to
– Did they play last year?
I don't know. I don't know.
They
kind of quit doing everything there. So
they always have really fun battles to go to the NCAA tournament every year.
Well, they used to award their regular season champion the automatic. I don't know if they still do that anymore. Like I said, they haven't played in a while, or maybe they did last year. But my favorite Patriot League basketball story is there was this guy on one of the teams. Can't remember which one, but basically he had tried out for the team as a walk-on, like his freshman year, got cut, asked if he could like be one of the student managers. They said yes. Next year, tried out for a walk-on again, like didn't make it. But like he was always working on his game, student manager again. Eventually, he like makes the team as like, you know, gets like the one walk-on spot or whatever it is. You know, I mean, he's the Rudy of the team. Right?
Yeah.
He's the last guy. Well, then the preseason publications come out, and their team is picked last in the preseason, you know, predictions for the Patriot League, which was then also in the same publication ranked as the worst conference in basketball. So he would go around, and his pickup line with the ladies is, you know who I am? I'm the worst Division I college basketball player on the planet.
I'm sure it worked.
Well, pretty good. I mean, it's a nice way to say you're an athlete, but not come across like a uppity, you know? You've kind of...
Chicks would dig it, honestly.
You've kind of humbled yourself while also letting them know, hey, I'm on the basketball team.
Yeah, because like the worst complaint with like athletes, just from what I've seen with the females on the internet, is like, oh, man, like all these guys, even if they're decent, they act like they're just the greatest thing since sliced bread. This guy's not. He knows he's crap. He owns it. I guarantee he got more ladies than anybody else on that basketball team.
But while also saying, hey, I'm on the basketball team. It's kind of smart. Anyway, I think I've told that story before. I don't know. Maybe not. Pretty good.
I'd use it.
That was in a John Feinstein book, The Last Amateurs. That was pretty good. Behind the scenes of the Patriot League. There's another story in that book about how they're trying to revamp basketball at one of the service academies. And they're talking about that. They called the guy in. They're like, had an interview for a new coach or something. He's like, look at that picture. And he was like, it was a shot like from the catwalk of the arena. So the basketball game's going on down there, and it's packed. The whole arena's packed. He's like, yeah, it's packed. That's great. He's like, no, look closer. If you looked really closely, the cadets all have textbooks on their lap. They're studying. It was mandatory to go to the basketball game. So they all had their books out, like, studying because the team was so bad or something. So it was like, the guy was, like, hiring a new coach. Like, we need our team to be good enough to where the cadets are, you know, into the basketball game, not studying during games.
That would be a good rule, though. Could you imagine if every student was – I mean, obviously you wouldn't have room for it, but if every student was made to go to Tennessee basketball games, just the kind of atmosphere we could do.
Well, you can just rotate around, right? I mean, you got so many students, you only have to go to, like, you can mandate, like, each student goes to two games a year or something.
Or Texas did this last year. I think it would be awesome. Every student, you play a game early in the season against, I don't know, Rhode Island, whoever you want to play, just some non-Power 5 team. Student-only game.
Mm.
Just students go to the game. See, now, Texas, they did it in one of their, like, small practice gyms, I'm assuming.
Gotcha.
It probably only held 8,000 or 9,000, if that. But everybody there was a student. And they were playing some crappy Texas school. It might have been Texas State they were playing. But because that it was only students, the environment there was actually great.
I wonder if you could tie the student-only game with if you don't go to it, or if you, at least you don't sign up to go for it, to go to it, then you can't get like the good tickets later in the season. I could get the place packed.
Make them sit through a miserable game against Presbyterian to later be able to watch us beat Auburn.
There you go. I like where your head's at. We'll come back with more Hour 3. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour 3 continues. This segment brought to you by Smarter Searches. Check them out online at smartersearches.com for all your digital marketing needs. Right here, locally owned and operated in Knoxville. They'll help you reach the world, of course, though. All your digital marketing needs. Smartersearches.com. Hit them up. Tell them you heard about them right here on Fan Run Radio. I guess some good news for Tennessee baseball. A couple things, actually, on the coaching front. Reported yesterday that Frank Anderson turned down a run by Texas to try and hire him away from the big orange to the fake orange.
That was a very quiet ordeal. Do you think if we had known that they were interested, we'd have been freaking out the whole time?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, our pitching has been elite throughout the season.
Yeah.
Frank Anderson, kind of a hothead, which I don't really mind unless it costs us stuff, which maybe it didn't.
It would have been funny, though, you know, just first year pitching coach at Texas. He has to serve a 2-game suspension right off the rip.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably not happened too many times.
I mean, it's not just that our good pitchers have been good. I mean, it's just like we've had pitchers that it's happened with position players, too, that no one's sure how good they're going to be, and they've been really good. Everybody that's pitched has been good.
I think that's what I'm most excited to see next year is just the growth of Burns, Dolander, Beam.
I mean, that's nasty rotation. The thing about it is, though, they were almost so good through a certain point, like you knew they weren't going to be any better because they almost couldn't be.
And, like, they were so good early, especially Burns, that, like, him giving up 2 runs and 8 innings with 7 strikeouts. I kind of looked at that stat line and I was just like, gross.
Gave up 2 runs. What are you thinking?
Yeah, they spoiled us.
Yeah, they did. Well, I mean, we're at that point now where it's just the regular season is just going to be all a setup. You know, we've done the thing where we've been the best team in the regular season. We've done the thing where we get to Omaha. Now it's going to be, we've won the SEC championship. Now it's just going to be, okay, it's postseason success. That's what matters. And then good news on the hitting front, Tony Vitello announced today, actually, the addition of – or sorry, he announced the addition of a new strength and conditioning coach Thursday, welcoming back Quentin Eberhardt for his second stint as the director of baseball sports performance. He served the same role for Tennessee from 2018 to 2021. Before taking a job with the Cubs for this 2022 season. So Eberhardt, who had left for years, coming back. If he's the reason our guys look like they're on the roids, I'm down.
Yeah. So is our guy we had this year leaving, or is he just going to be an assistant to this guy? Or
I don't know.
How's this working? Baseball's so weird when it comes to
it's a great question.
Assistants and whatnot.
He's just getting demoted because this guy wanted to come back. Who knows?
Now, if we start hitting worse, you got to get rid of this guy.
He's the reason we hit so well, like, hit well last year. I mean, we've always hit well, right?
Yes, but we did take a big jump, though, this past season.
I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. They don't list a guy, like a different guy right now on the website for strength and conditioning, I don't think. Now, the sports medicine guy, but I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Maybe the other guy left or something.
I'm just as excited for baseball. Well, not just as excited, just slightly less excited for baseball as I am football for next year.
Really?
That's how bad of a taste that was left in my mouth this year.
See, I'm not. It gutted me. Like, I'm going to be so bored through the regular season, because no matter how good we are,
you've seen the just groundbreaking, legendary, best team we'll ever have in the regular season.
Just give us like the number three national seed and let's go straight to the Super Regional.
Yeah, take the Ole Miss approach.
Let's just suck.
Let's have fans wanting to fire Tony V all season long and then win a natty.
If it wins a natty, people will do anything, so whatever it takes.
What do you think will be ranked preseason next year? Top 10? Top 5?
They officially ranked us 9th to end the season, but I think that was just a you got to rank the 8 in Omaha, and then we were the best team that didn't make it.
Now, did you see D1 Baseball America? The crap they pulled.
Okay, so there's Baseball America and there's D1 Baseball.
You're
talking about Baseball America.
Yeah, was it Baseball America?
It was Baseball America, their first team, All American list, no Tennessee players.
I'm sorry, but like, how to throw away your credibility? You do crap like that.
There you go.
Dolander, 10-0 in the year, like a 2.47 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
SEC Pitcher of the Year, didn't make a spot on your first team All-American list?
Sad.
Our boy Skeens made it.
He was the only one that made it. Was preseason and postseason.
Ah, so a lot of surprises on the list.
Or he was like one of two guys that were preseason first team All-American and then also made postseason.
Yeah, but too bad the list isn't valid. I can't even congratulate him now.
I mean, we played against a few of those guys that are on the list.
Sonny D made it.
Yeah, I know we didn't play LSU, but Cruz, I think, made it. There's a couple others.
We got him in the SEC tournament.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
I don't think he did much against us.
No.
Dolander had them locked down pretty much. Never really any scares in that game.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Lipscomb, robbed.
Yep.
I guess Gilbert would have been the only other one, maybe.
I mean, if you look at his batting average, not many guys in the country had a better one.
Gilbert was second team, right?
Yeah, Gilbert, Lipscomb, and Dolander, second team.
Yeah, that's...
Do you think they got dinged because we didn't...
Make Omaha?
You know, do it in Omaha? Or do you think
maybe
they just kind of
like us.
Got bored, yeah. Got bored with how good Tennessee was. Or, like you said, yeah, maybe they just didn't... Maybe they dinged us for the... The behavior.
Probably.
This reminds me of AYSO soccer, which I played on the side because I couldn't play for my high school team. It was tennis and soccer the same season where I'm from. And we, like, tied for first in the regular season standings, even though we had won, like, every game, every match. We had way more points, but they took points away. For cards. I mean, what kind of crap is that? Like, if you had a red card, it, like, took away, like, 2 points. If you had,
really?
Like, 2 yellow cards, it equaled, like, -1 point. So, if you got carded, basically, if you, like, you know, I mean, you can get a yellow card for just regular fouls. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's like saying we're going to take points off the scoreboard in basketball because you guys are fouling too much. Ridiculous.
That's why I couldn't do leagues like that weren't TSSAA events, because some of the rules...
I mean, we're practically in high school at this point. Like, come on.
That'd have cost my team a lot of points if that were the rules.
Who cares if a guy kicked over a Gatorade bucket, you know? Got thrown out. You can't change the standings. Imagine if they're like, yep, Frank Anderson, that outburst, that's... You guys just lost game one of the Super Regional right then. Like, we don't even have to play it. Ridiculous. Anyway, come back. Final segment of the program next. I think you got the dub on that one at the end of the day.
I think I did too.
Yeah. People need to just acknowledge the scoreboard sometimes. Final segment of the program. It's Thursday edition. If you missed any portion, check out the podcast.
Hopefully.
Hopefully it'll be correct today.
We good today, Brett?
Yes, we are. But double check my work.
First time I ever lost a podcast, the shaming I got on the drive was so bad that I believe Russell's wife was blowing up his phone like, stop. Stop it now.
And oh, she was taking up for you, huh?
Yeah.
Well, she must be one great lady putting up with him.
Yeah. We're more laid back here in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
We're not suit and tie like those guys in the afternoon.
Did we talked about the volunteer club, I think. You know, how they earned all that money.
Yeah.
They're having a kickoff event in, I guess, 9 days now. Basically, it's an event where you can meet and greet a bunch of the student-athletes.
Oh.
Hendon Hooker's there, Cedric Tillman, Zakai Ziegler, Julian Phillips, Ben Joyce, Jared Dickey, Amari Thomas, Ben Bolton. I don't know some of these guys, but just a bunch of the – even some of the female basketball players will be there and stuff like that. It's down on campus.
Well, there you go.
It's actually at Saloon 16 at the Graduate.
They just have to plug Peyton Manning's business, don't they?
Ah, golly, we're cursed forever.
That brings up a good point, meet and greets. What UT athlete, current, would you like to meet most?
Oh, Jeremy Banks. Just kidding.
Give him a T-shirt.
That's a tough one. I don't know. I don't. Is it bad that I don't really care? Is that bad? Like, I don't need to meet them? Like,
that's kind of how I am.
I don't watch college sports like that. You know? Like, I enjoy the team. I enjoy the game. Yeah. I don't worship the players. You know? Like, they're kids. Like, let them just be who they are. We saw some of the baseball guys out the other night.
Really? Where at?
Yeah? One of the restaurants I've been to.
Huh. No free pub. Was this downtown?
No, it was out at Storm and Crab.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Three of the vets, you know, pretty two starters and a reserve that plays a lot. And we didn't – it was one of them – they sat down after we did. And so as we were – you know, my son was with me. The most we've ever done is, like, Fulkerson was at a baseball game.
Yeah.
And my son was like, hey, can I get a picture? And there were other people taking it. So we, like – he just jumped in there. We got a quick – Fulkerson was really nice. Gave him a good smile, good picture, and we're like, well, I hate bothering him. Like,
yeah.
So anyway, I will say this, though. I overheard, just, we were close enough to kind of overhear a little bit of how they were behaving as college students at a restaurant. Perfect manners.
Yeah.
Perfect gentleman.
That's what the media doesn't want you to know about this team.
Yep. It was like it was a triple date. It was three of the guys, three of their, you know, their girlfriends or whatever, and nothing but respectful. And actually, as we walked by, my wife said something like, hey, thanks for, you know, keeping baseball fun or something like that. And one of them who had a mouthful was like trying to like
swallow
like so to have a conversation. Yeah. And we were like, no, you know, have a good night. We're not bothered. We don't want to bother you. I don't know. That's what I like to pull for. I don't need to meet them.
Yeah.
Individually,
it's the most famous person I've ever bothered. Probably Johnny Knoxville.
Huh. Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, his nephew. We're in the same graduating class from high school, and he was actually a Seymour kid.
Hmm.
And Knoxville was sitting like two rows up from me at a jamboree one time. Nice guy.
There you go. Maybe we carry this topic into tomorrow. Or we'll do it again, Friday edition of the program, as we take you into the July 4th weekend.
Hopefully all of us will be here tomorrow.
You don't want to miss it. Yeah, that's the goal. Maybe we can finish strong. Have a good one. We'll talk to you then.